message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because your word is true, your word is power, your word is might, your word gives strength, illumination, light, and understanding to the simple. We receive your word today with meekness. We ask that the truth we're going to learn today will bear it in heart and will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. All right, we are continuing our teaching series that we began last week. This is the fourth part of the message, Faith Book of Record. I want to encourage everybody in second service to please do well to listen to first service today. It's so amazing. Glory to God. And then you also have to understand that in this church, when we do teaching series that way, our second service is not a repetition of first service. Have you noticed that? It's a continuity. So if you are in second service right now, you are listening to part four of this teaching, for you to flow in the knowledge of it, all right, because it is deliberately designed, all right, to be in series. So do well to hear the previous tape. So now you're listening to part four right now. I would advise that you get part three. More importantly, you start from part one. Praise God forevermore. Jesus taught series, all right, in Matthew 5, 6. He taught for 3 days. Amen. Aha. Praise God. So we are continuing our teaching series, and this is part four. So as a way of making this teaching memorable, all right, and then to sound apologetic, what I did was I tagged it Faith Book of Record as a throw-along concept to the popularly known Guinness Book of Record. Do you understand? So that, you know, I wanted to sound apologetic about this teaching in such a way that it will imprint in your mind and in your memory, not just for longevity of remembrance, but as a way of contrast, you know, to help you see that this thing we're talking about is real big stuff. Just like in the natural, it's real big stuff to have yourself, your name in Guinness Book of Record. All right, it's also big stuff to have your name in Faith Book of Records. I mean, all right, Faith Book of Record. So Guinness Book of Record, as we know it, is a reference book where the world have list of people's achievements. All right, so now the news flash is God also has a book of record. So we called it Faith Book of Records. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the book of life. For us, you know, for the starters, listen, book of life, bread of life, tree of life, they all refer to Christ. So when you are born again, you are in Christ. You are in book of life. These are just metaphors. But we're talking about faith book of records. That means, you see, something significant that you do in the kingdom that counts in eternity. Something significant that you do, all right, that God reckons with as a great feat. And we have been looking at this in four services. I shared out that the yardstick of God for measuring, all right, the greatness of anyone and their deeds is redemption. So the patriarch had their name, for example, in what we call the All Faith of Fame in Hebrews 11, because they substantiated their hope for a city they were looking for with their actions. So, for instance, Abraham sojourned. Abel gave a sacrifice. So, you see, all these things they did was the actions they did. Because verse 1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, hope in what context? Hope for a city whose builder is God. Hope for salvation. Hope for the promise of eternal life, which in the long run, in verse 13, we were told they never had. So they hoped in eternal life. They hoped for this promise. They did not have this promise. But you see, they have their name written in Faith's book of life with those records of actions. Why? Because in their own dispensation, all right, they were judged according to the promise in the future. So, for example, I'll give you a very simple example, all right? In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied saying, he says that, by whose stripes, all right, ye are healed. Now, Peter, looking behind, says, by whose stripes ye were healed. And the healing there, all right, theologically refers to salvation. Say loud, amen. In Numbers 21 from verse 7 to 9, for example, all right, you see how that, and I'm not in any way speaking low of physical healing as well. As a matter of fact, you have to understand the theology of miracles. I've taught you this before. All right, that you see, for example, Jesus walks into a city, heals a blind man, all right, it's symbolic beyond just the physical healing of blindness, but it's symbolic of bringing light of salvation to that city. Because Jesus beginning to teach afterwards, you know, quoting Isaiah, saying, seeing they could not see, hearing they could not hear, as the word of prophet Isaiah had said. So Jesus was teaching about bringing the light of salvation. Are you following what I'm saying here? So now in Numbers 21 from verse 7 to 9, for example, the Bible tells us, all right, that, all right, when they were stricken and beaten by snake in the wilderness, all right, Moses went to make a brazen serpent, all right, serpent made from brass. And brass there represents a curse. So now everyone that looked to that brazen serpent, they were healed. As they looked to that brazen serpent, no matter how excruciating the pain was, all they needed was to look at that brazen serpent. And the moment they looked at that brazen serpent, what happened? They were healed. So now Jesus was going to do exegesis on that in the book of Genesis 3 from verse 13. He says, even as Moses raised a brazen serpent in the wilderness, if I also be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Therefore, if any man who believe will not perish but have everlasting life. Then in verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So now we see Jesus does exegesis on that incident and helps us see that the look that they looked into that brazen serpent, what that looking prefigures is believing. Because the Bible tells us that those, they look unto him and they were not ashamed, for their face were lightened. Come on. So now looking there prefigures believing. Being healed of that snake bite represents what? Eternal life. Are you following what I'm saying here? So these are teachings in symbolism. These are teachings in symbolism. So that means, you see, you have to understand that, all right, in God's faith book of records, therefore, like you see in the book of Hebrews 11, like I taught in first service, all right? The things faith simply means, I repeat, actions done to substantiate hope. Now, like I said, hope in what? Hope in having a new car? No. Hope in buying new houses? No. Even though having new houses is important. Even though buying new cars is important. And I'm going to buy one soon. Amen. Some of you are going to buy many for me. Say loud amen to that. All right. So I don't preach poverty here. Glory to God. But I also want you to know that much more than those physical things, all right, you have to realize the contextual use of that word hope in Hebrews 11. He is talking about they were hoping for a city whose builder is God. And they were hoping for the fulfillment of a promise that God gave them. And what was the promise? Now, literally, it sounded like if you read Genesis 12 to 22, it looks like it was Canaan that God promised Abraham. But listen, he says he was looking for a city whose builder is God. That building he was looking for, the Bible says that, all right, they were persuaded of that promise. But they did not have that promise. That promise is eternal life. That's why in the next chapter, he says, ye are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So you and I at salvation have come to that city. That city is salvation. So now the patriarch did not enter. They did not have that reward eventually. They didn't have that promise, beg your pardon, but it was reckoned to their account because all they had in their dispensation was a promise. What we have is the fulfillment of the promise. They were looking to the future. We are looking to the past, but it's still the same object of faith, salvation. Look at it. That's why they had a good report in verse 2. Look at it. It says, for by it, that means by their faith, what happened? They obtained a good report. So their report card shows, marks them right, that what that they had faith, they substantiated their hope. And what they were hoping for was the promise of eternal life. Say loud, amen. Amen. Look at verse 13. Look at it, verse 13 quickly. Let me show you this. Verse 13. Come on. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. You see, it was recorded into their account that they were faith people, but they didn't get the promise. The promise has not been consummated. The redemption plan has not been completed. Glory to God. It has not been completed. So, in that, they exercised their faith. So, the actions, so for example, Abel gave. So, his giving was recorded because it's an action done in hope for eternal life. So, your actions in this world will be recorded in God's faith book of life to the degree that it is relevant to God's salvation plan. Hallelujah. So, you're going to school will matter to God to the degree that it affects God's salvation plan. Your being on that street will matter. It will be in God's faith book of record that brother XYZ lived on so and so street, saving 20 people. Your contribution of faith, listen, your faith is true faith to the degree it is relevant to the faith. I come again. Your faith is true faith to the degree in which it is relevant to the faith. Or I have told you that faith is one of those words with several nuances. The faith, oh glory to God. So, Jesus is the faith. Eternal life, Christ is the faith. Come on, talk to me. So now, your exercise of faith is accounted in God's faith book of record to the degree in which it is relevant to the faith. How has it supported the propagation of the faith? I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. How has he supported it? So, just because one man chooses to, all right, to say, you know what, I'm going to challenge Goliath, because if Goliath had succeeded in killing or annihilating the entire people of Israel, there wouldn't be a Messiah. So now, in that guy taking the initiative to say, you know what, I'm going to come after you, Goliath, even though you are over 10 feet taller, I'm going to bring your head down. Some of you, if we ask you to rewrite the Bible and tell us the story about David, what comes to your mind first? Answer me now. Bro, when I say David, what comes to your mind first? Eh? David and Goliath. Thank you for being sincere. Amen. What else again comes to your mind if I speak about David? If God asks you to write a story about David now, what would you write? You write Goliath, about how he killed Goliath, right? You, what would you write? Huh? One small boy who defeated Goliath. Good. All right. He's a small boy, actually, he's 17 years old. All right. What else again do you remember about Goliath? Eh? A man after God's, you're too deep. Why so deep? Why so deep? So we should write story. You're talking about Bathsheba. Alright. But now listen. Are you aware that in the New Testament, David is the most quoted Old Testament personality in the New Testament? In my theological observation, alright, he was quoted 60 times. Imagine they were talking about somebody 60 times in the New Testament and they never mentioned anything about killing Goliath. The only thing they were referencing were his prophetic words concerning Christ. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies your footstool. So all the things they were saying about David,
Imagine, let me ask you, imagine if you were the first medical doctor in your village, you were the first pediatrician, you went to pediatrics, I'm not saying this because I have a child here. All right, you are the first pediatric doctor, you are the first to build a sound, universal, global hospital, in the nation. You had 100 cars. You did those mighty things. And when they will write your biography in heaven, the only thing they wrote were the things you said, the souls you won. Wouldn't you be disappointed? So they will say, in his school, he won 5 souls. In his, when he was buying his cars, one of the vendors got born again through him. The hospital. They started a fellowship in the hospital when they were praying, the staffs were doing morning devotion. Then one person, all right, who was not a Christian in that devotion, got born again. So imagine when you now went to heaven, they now handed your book to you. And you want to see all the cars you bought, all the alimentaries that you helped, maybe none of them got born again. After you fed them, they still went back to their babiana. They were still going to their mosque. All right, they were not born again. It's not recorded. So there are things we call greatness in this world that they are actually futility to God. Do you understand? Because there have been great men, and this is why this teaching series, all right, we are trying to, we call it Faith Book of Records, because we want you to know that having your name in Faith Book of Records, it's some hard work. This is no jokes, bro. This is some hard work. Yeah. It's some hard work. The same way, look, let me read something to you about Guinness Book of Records. I read it on their site. Let me read it to you. To become a record holder requires determination, extraordinary skills, and commitment. Ahead of applying, have a look at the key steps to follow. Explore the world's record database, and I'm not trying to do free advert for them, okay? In any way. And this is just an unpaid advertisement, and if they hear this, they have to pay me. Because this message is going all over the world. Alright, so choose a world record to attempt. Number 3, apply and wait to receive guidelines. Number 4, understand the requirements and evidence needed for the attempt. Listen to the rules. Number 5, practice. Number 6, carry out your official world record attempt. Number 7, submit your evidence, cover letter, and all other required documents. Number 8, the moment of truth. That means if you are successful, congrats, you will receive an official Guinness World Record certificate. So, this is Guinness Book of Records, though. But here we're talking about Faith Book of Records. So, the idea is, I want you to know that this is no jokes. This is some real hard work here. We're not talking about being born again here. Being born again is just a step. It's like everybody is living in the world, 7.8 billion people. Is it 7.8 billion people that have their names in Guinness Book of Records? So that you are born again, you are alive to God. Hallelujah. Alive to God. It doesn't mean that you are doing something significant in the kingdom. So we're talking about striving for rewards. We're talking about striving for having your name being in God's best book. Yeah, it's possible. You see, the baby too is saying yes. Glory to God. And for you to do that, you have to follow God's prescribed order. There is an order that God will have you do it. And that order, let me tell you how that order is in the kingdom. Write it down. The order. Write it down. S, write it. S-A-C-R-I. Somebody already have an idea. F-I. C, E. Let's pronounce it together. 3, 2, go. Sacrifice. Let me read something to you in the book of 2 Samuel 6:1. Because some people have this wrong idea that they're going to serve God with convenience. It doesn't work. That's why, look, God has never placed a demand in scripture on an idle person. I have searched through the scripture. I have never seen an idle person. Lazy, idle person used by God. Everyone God uses, they were busy doing something. Elisha had
He had tractor. That's not the meaning of tractor. When you have 12 bulls, that's six tractors, because two makes one. Put a yoke on two, it will be dragging your plow. He had a farm. James and John, they had a fishing business with their dad, Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company, because they had a ship. They were not all people with hook, line, and sinker trying to catch fish at Otokpo village. No. All right. Matthew, Levi. Matthew was a custom officer. Bible says tax collector. But Jesus went to pay his tax. That's how he met him. So he was the one in charge of immigration. Big man. And the Bible, and how did I know? Because the Bible says he took Jesus home and all his rich friends came. Zacchaeus, another tax collector. He saw Jesus, wanted to see him. Short guy. He went to climb the tree. Do you know what it means if somebody like Dangote wants to see me? And because he knows I'm passing past through a place to preach, and because he wants to see me, he goes to climb the tree. You don't get it. That's, say you don't know he was a rich guy. Guy now 19. His nickname is Osh Poppy, because he has actually, that's why he was confessing that I will restore all the money I took from people four times. He started opening his mouth and confessing before Jesus. So these were not some idle men. So if you are going to do anything that will be relevant to God, it will be sacrificial. It will take something from you. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me show you something. 2 Samuel 6 verse 1. Look at it. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelt between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Underline the word new cart. New cart. And brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Verse 5. And they brought, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornet and cymbals. Verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord has made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Verse 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obedidom, the Gittite. Now, to prove to you that the problem was not the ark. The ark that David was afraid of, hoping that it will kill this poor man. If you read down the line, you know the story now. The guy got richer. And when David now later wanted to go and carry the ark, the man was angry that I should have just left this ark here. But what was the problem? I will show you. Go to 1 Chronicles 15. I'll show you something there. 1 Chronicles 15 verse 11. Don't forget, they put the ark where? On the cart. On a new cart. It's like buying limousine. They wanted to carry the ark with this. They want to post it on Facebook and show it that, yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? They want to put it on designer's car. But that's not the order for serving God. Some people are waiting for when all the things are right before they will start serving God. before they will start following that dream God has put in their heart for the kingdom, before they will start getting serious. All the friends that I had in school that were close, that were saying they want to go and make money, then they will not do ministry. They are still making money. And they will keep making money. The devil will be so good to you to distract you. Somebody came to meet Bishop Oyedepo. He said, you remember that time? That something years ago, I had a call. I got coming. Bishop Oyedepo said, see, what? God has called somebody else. Have you gone on evangelism before and then you meet old people who sit you back and say, ah, this thing you were doing, I used to do it when I was small. Ah, well done, eh? Me too, I used to do it before. Ah, they are feeling like an 80-year-old man who pastors the biggest church in the world is still doing evangelism. He's still going, let's go fishing. Yeah, Deboye. Look at what happened. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levite, for Uriel, Isaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, Aminadab. Boy, these names, they are speaking in tongues. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levite. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel unto what? The place that I have prepared for it. Now, pay attention. Verse 13. For because, David learned this a hard way. He says, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. So there is an order. And I told you that the order is what? Say it louder. Because these are teachings in symbolism. It's not as if God will kill you if you don't do his will. It's not like, do you get what I'm saying? These are teachings in symbolism. Look at what it says in verse 14. He says, so the priests and the Levites sanctify themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God. Where? Say it louder. That's the due order. That the ark must be borne on the shoulder. Boy, that ark is heavy. Go and check the dimension of building the ark. It's not some Akpotieri, you know Yoruba Akpotieri, it's not this small, this thing that is real. They use shitting wood. These are strong stuff, heavy. But they put it on new carts. Say, you know what, as for me, I can do my own evangelism, but you know what I'm going to do is, we're going to have some evangelism seminar at Abu Dhabi. That's how we're going to have it. You know, I'm so serving God. You are. There's a knock. Angel will be looking at it. What's the way this one? Go to the village. Glory to God. Did I say you should not go to the city too? No. But here is the word. Sacrifice. It must cost you. Look at it. And children of the Levite bear the ark upon where? Say it louder. Their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So there was already a divine order. I just read to you 7 steps they wrote on Guinness Book of Record website for you to be. You want to pick a form of application, form of interest though. They gave you the things that you must do. And number 5 says, practice, practice. That means you will keep doing this thing. To breaking records, being on Guinness Book of Records is not some jokes, bro. Now we're talking about faith book of records. That means you're going to deprive yourself of some things. It's going to take a toll on you. That's a fact. God took the yoke of sin from you, not so that you can be yokeless. Let me tell you something. God is God-centered. He took yoke of sin from you, not so that you can live. Say, I'm free in Christ. I'm free indeed. No chains. Shut your trap. You are free to serve the Lord. You're not made free to walk on free range. Bro, there ain't no vacuum in this world. He said that you own the Satan, not you own the God. You are saved to serve God. Some people think God is God for them. God is not God for you. God is God for God. He is God for God. He is God-centered. And he has a plan. His ultimate plan is salvation. You are only relevant to him to the degree in which your actions support his plan. He is God-centered. Stop all this fufu Christianity. All this vegetable jam Christianity. Someone say sacrifice. Say it louder. Everyone that ever did great thing for God, they had a choice of either doing it or not. Everyone, they always had a choice. They had their choice of not exerting themselves sacrificially, but they choose to sacrifice themselves deliberately. Now, think about this. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about it that Moses, have you ever thought about it that Pharaoh was actually Moses' surrogate dad? Have you ever thought about it? And common wisdom would have been, Moses, don't fight. Just stay calm. And when daddy dies, you have the chance of being the next Pharaoh. Simple stuff, right? But you see, Moses had to deprive himself. The Bible says Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to see himself as Pharaoh's son. He was a prince. That means he deprived himself of some privileges. He chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You think I'm making this thing up? Open to Hebrews 11. Open to Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith. See, listen, the reason why Moses' name is in faith book of record. This is the old fame of faith, right? Come on. Don't forget that we began from that. Faith is any action you do to substantiate your hope. The hope here is what? Salvation. That means these guys' name were in faith book or because of the actions they did that supported salvation. So now Abraham sojourned. So his sojourning was written in his report card. So Abraham had his report card. And in his report card, it was written that he sojourned. Why? Because his sojourning, the Bible says he was sojourning, all right, as an immigrant. This was a guy that had a home, but now the Bible says he was dwelling in tabernacles. These were movable tents, mobile home. Imagine you traveling with camp, you know, camp tents. Meanwhile, you had a house. So God counted that for Abraham as faith because it was consistent with salvation plan. Because God has chosen that through him, through his seed, the whole families of the earth will be blessed. And Galatians 3 told us that that seed is whom? Christ. So his decision to start sojourning was faith recorded in his faith book of records. So now the same thing with Moses. I told you, Abel gave. That action was what substantiated his hope of eternal life. He had hope of the promise. And what substantiated that hope is faith. And that what he did was by giving. He gave, all right, a sacrificial lamb, which also prefigures the redemptive work of Christ. He gave a lamb. So now look at verse 24. It says, by faith. Someone say, by faith. I didn't hear you. I want to say it louder. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, he refused to be called what? The son of Pharaoh's daughter, a prince. Let me tell you, Egypt then was world power. Huh? Imagine if, maybe you don't get it, there's a young guy in this church that came to me. Imagine if your dad was the richest. Take for example, let me even put it to you today, you, all of you here. If your dad was Dangote, you know Dangote is a Muslim. Eh? Yes. And Dangote, and your dad woke up to you and says, choose to be a Christian and then I disown you. Choose to be a Muslim and you'll be the next CEO of all my companies. Well, for someone like me, I won't think twice. I'm telling you. And I'm not making this up. But let me ask you, can you do it? Praise God. By faith, Moses, When he was come to yes, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What did he do? Choosing rather. Someone say choosing rather. There is something called choices over chances. I wrote a devotional one time. How many of you remember? Choices over chances. Some people, their life is all about chance. Well, if I'm chanced, I'll preach. If I'm not chanced, she cannot go. Then nothing. Your faith book is blank. And don't go there because you will cry in heaven. Sure, you know. And maybe you will cry for, let's say, maybe like 3,000 years. You first cry for 3,000 years. Are you surprised? Because that time, that one is timelessness, so eternity. Because we're talking about this thing now. Some people don't see it as something relevant. It's because they are earthly and sensely ruled. They've not been able to see beyond this world. There is a life after this world. If you grow old, pata, 120. But what is 120 years compared to timelessness? Eternity. And there are things, and we are telling that there are things you can do here that will count in eternity. He says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? Look at verse 26. He says, this guy, do you know what he did? He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Ah, mashataya kabala. Do you understand English here? He esteemed, that means he considered the reproach, the sufferings of Christ, greater riches. He considered it to be what? Greater riches than what? Than the treasures in Egypt. Huh. I wish I had a simpler translation to explain this to you. That means he considered it, he esteemed it. He esteemed eternal things of greater riches. That means, look, his value system was on top notch. He saw the things done for Christ to be of greater value than earthly enjoyment. Some Christians cannot live. See, they can't stay under the sun to preach for just 1 hour. They have missed the AC they are living in. They have missed it as if they want to die. Take some people away from AC. They will start sweating. Some people now, the very simple fact that they would have somebody change their bedsheet at home. They will have somebody come to clean the house for them. They are not thinking about how to buy fuel in the car. And they will have somebody cook for them, house girl. That thought alone can never cross their mind that school is on strike. What are you doing for Kefi? But you'll be wonderful and you have time to work in church. Namiki Jesus. They can't think it. They are babies. They have not grown. Look at what he says in BB. He says, judging a part in the shame of Christ to be better than all the wealth of Egypt. See, Egypt was the world power then. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Imagine if you were related to Joe Biden. Because that's more or less like the word power today. Amen. So he says he judged it, the shame of Christ, to be better than all the wealth of Egypt, for he was looking forward to what? Look at what he was looking forward for. What was he looking forward for? Say it louder now. I didn't hear you. So this thing we're talking about, having you in Faith Book of Records, required what? Say it louder.
Sacrifice.
This is the point I want to make in second service. Sacrifice. Has it ever occurred? Did you ever think about it that if a man had succeeded in annihilating the entire Jewish people, there will be no salvation? You didn't get it. Look, it has pleased God that salvation will come through the Jew. And if you read the Bible very well, right from Genesis, all the war you saw was about the seed. He said the seed of a woman shall bruise Satan's head. That was the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15. That was God's prophecy about salvation. Devil thought in the next chapter that the seed was Abel.
The guy killed Abel.
So he has been walking, guessing. He thought again it was Moses. So he began to give a decree. Every child born as a son must be killed. But you know how it happened with Moses now? Miraculously, by faith, the mom put the child, packaged the child inside basket, put him on water to be floating where Pharaoh's daughter will be bathing. And guess what? When they took the baby, they need a midwife to take care of this baby. Guess what? It was the mom. Do you know what it means to be taking care of your own child and somebody is paying you? Taking care of the child, your own child. She disguised as a nanny by faith. Because if she was caught, they would have killed her. It's faith. Did you know that if a man had succeeded in killing the Jews, they probably wouldn't have been salvation, because God has designed that Jesus would come through the Jewish tribe. True? But you became a queen because you fine like fish. And because you fine, bow straight hair, nice aloe vera, nice perfume, the king can't breed because of you. And you were willing to relinquish all those enjoyments because you felt in your heart that you were created for such a time as this. Look at Esther 4 verse 14. Esther 4 verse 13. Look at it. Esther 4 verse 13. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So, Mordecai is making it known to this woman that, listen, you never can tell. The reason why God made it possible for you to be in the kingdom, to be a queen, is for a time as this. How many people are yet to see that the reason why they are rich is to support the gospel? How many people are yet to see that the reason why they are in a place of influence is to stand for Christ? How many people are yet to see that the reason why things are going well is so that they can sacrifice that thing for the gospel? How many people are yet to see that this is the heartbeat of God? How many people are yet to see that the reason why they are even alive, that they are not dead, is to sing the praise of Him who has called them out of darkness into His marvelous light? How many people are yet to see that the reason why Psalm 3 verse 5, I lay me down, I'm awake, because the Spirit of God sustained me, was for a purpose? How many people are yet to see that the reason why the Bible says, I shall live and not die, it was not a full stop. He continued, he's saying that what? That I might declare the good works of the Lord in the land of the living. How many people are yet to see that the reason why they are living is to propagate the gospel? How many people are yet to see that the reason why they are in the kingdom, why they became a queen, why God gave them fine face, fine voice, to go for pageantry and win the pageantry among many queens and become the wife of the king, was so that they can propagate the gospel? And people are yet to see that the reason why they made it to the palace was so that they can propagate the gospel. How many people are yet to see? How many? He told her, he says, look, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such what? A time as this. A time as this. Many are yet to see a purpose behind where they are and why they are where they are. You are a second in command to a country, and they are killing priests, killing pastors, and you are quiet, and you are going to say you want to go next level. You will not go that next level. And people are yet to see, and I'm saying this prophetically, saying, but if I talk, they will kill me. Why were you there in the first place? See, listen, let me tell you. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. How can you be assistant class captain? Assistant class captain in a ship that is going, and the sailors are there killing your king's men.
And I said, you want to be lawyer. Lawyer kill you there. The same lawyer. Listen, let me be honest with you. Do you understand? A lot of people do not understand why God took them from the dunghill.
Yes, sir.
And placed them among the kings. A lot of people don't know. And that's why you have to understand as a child of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You have to understand as a child of God that, listen, there is a purpose for your prosperity.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. There is a purpose for your prosperity. If your prosperity does not support the prosperity of the gospel, you are not prosperous. And guess what? What God will do is this. Because God, he does not take what he has given. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God, it is God's nature. What he will do is, he will start elevating other people. Haven't you read that if you refuse to serve God, he will raise stones? Nobody can put God in a fix. God is too big. When Elijah was making man that, I'm the only one that has not bowed to Baal. I'm the only one, oh God. Eh? I'm the only one. He just killed 490 Baal, of prophet of Baal, right? I'm the only one. God said, shut up. I have 7,000 other men who have not bowed their... 7,000, they were hiding on that in the cave. There was a man that was hiding some in the cave who had not bowed to Baal. You think Mary was the only virgin in Israel? You have to realize this thing that, listen, the call to propagate the gospel, listen to me, it's a noble ministry, it's a noble cause, and it's a noble call, and it's a privilege that God could trust you with the eternal destiny of other people. That your preaching determines the eternal destiny of other people. That God has so much privileged you to be part of his redemptive work. If you have not seen this as a privilege, you need to upgrade your value system. You've got to. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Everybody is quiet. Did I sound like, am I preaching Jesus is coming soon? Because that's the message that makes people quiet many times in the world. Meanwhile, Jesus is coming should make people rejoice. Because how do you feel quiet at the news of your bride, of your husband coming as a wife? Because we call him the husband of the church. I can imagine on my wedding day, my wife is now saying, ah, my husband is coming. She's coming. No! The bride is supposed to be looking at the window. Where is he? Where's my Mr. Charming? Amen. That's the way we should be expecting the coming of Jesus. Glory to God. At least I've said that down to make you laugh small. Because now I feel like, Pastor is hot this morning. why so serious? Okay. Somebody was so serious, he hung on the cross for me. I must be serious for him. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, brothers and sisters, God's yardstick for having your name in his faith book of records are the good works of faith that we do and we keep doing to be relevant in his book. The things we keep doing that are relevant to the spread of his gospel. So, the patriarch of old, they had the promise. So, they have their name in God's faith book of records to the degree in which it supports the propagation of God's salvation plan as a hope. But we, the things we do, all right, to propagate God's salvation plan, essentially, it is in news, the gospel. Now we are partners with him in it. Jesus died. We partner with him by spreading that news. By telling people that, listen, the price has been paid, receive. Because the reason why he died in the first place was to let people be made free. Let me tell you, let me give you a picture. It's like you have millions of people in prison and a court injunction has been made that someone has paid for their release, but they didn't know. So the fact that it has been paid, we still do them no good except they get to know. So now it's giving you an eye now, that responsibility to carry that news to the prisons and meet the prison in charge that, listen, this is the court injunction from the high court, from the Supreme Court, from the highest court,
that these people, someone somewhere has paid for their sins. Release them and they will be released. So that means somebody's freedom is tied to you carrying your two legs to go and announce that someone has paid for the freedom that they seek. They should stop looking for other places to seek freedom. Some have been seeking to smoke dope to get freedom. But if they will only hear the gospel and believe and realize that they've been made to sit together with him where? No other place higher than that. And it's not a feeling, it's a reality. Yes, because you can feel high and after your feeling is gone, you come down like a smoke. And guess what? Even if you want to feel high as a child of God, there's a mechanism for it. You speak in other tongues. You get your eyes red with the holy wine. And then you churn it up. You turn it up. Glory to God. See that? Praise God forevermore. This is God's yardstick. Have you been blessed? You see, so I want you to have your mind renewed that, look, God is selling a plan to me. He has a plan and he's trying to tell me. Imagine God, like God is wooing me into a responsibility. I taught you before that there's such a thing as responsibility of freedom. All right, that freedom does not just come to put you in vacuum. Freedom comes with responsibility. Some of you, you can guess, you understand what I'm saying. Some of you, you will understand later in natural world. And the way they are sending me in this house, I don't like it. I can't even wait safe. I can't wait. Let me just finish my school. When I get my house, nobody will be disturbing me. All right? And then when you finish and you get an accommodation for yourself, you are paying bills, you will know. There was one guy that called me, the way they command me in this house, Pastor, I don't like it. I said, listen, they will keep commanding you. All right? You can't be under somebody's roof and you'll be saying he's commanding you. Are you all right? Somebody give you roof, put food in your mouth. You are complaining that they are commanding you. Who should they command again? I don't like the way they treat me in this house. I don't know. By the time I go now, they will know. They will know. Then go know. Now you go know, pass. Now you. They will miss me. They will not miss you. Now you go miss them. By the time Nepal knocks on your door for Nepal bill, you can't call home. Your eye will shine. That's why I used to counsel young people as a pastor of young people. I said, listen, if you are living with your uncle or anybody, don't let them give you 3 square meals. They are killing your future. Don't go and be eating 3 square meals. I stayed with one rich person like that. I said, look, this will kill my destiny. Change my bedsheet every morning. Mop the floor. Before I wake up, the person will come. All right, my shoe is clean, everything. I say, hey, I go die for you. Before I wake up in the morning, I say, I'm waking up like this. Or right, after I finish praying, enter this thing. Food is on dining table, set. The door is clean. Before I get back into the room again, they have changed the bed sheets. Clean everywhere. Inside the room, there are two ACs. I stayed there month one. The wife will come and see me. Man of God, you are welcome. And everything, all right. Whatever you want in the kitchen, I'll just go there. I'll say, I put myself on a fast. They say, we notice you did not eat. I said, I'm fasting. See, let me tell you, the enemy of destiny is convenience. I'm telling you, the enemy of, look, do you know what? I began to save up that, look, I must go and find my own accommodation. One room, nothing. Bed on the floor. It wasn't long after that we began this Abuja meeting. Some people, they have enjoyed away their destiny. And look at what that woman said. She said, if I perish, I what? That's what she said. But guess what? You will not perish. Somebody saying, Pastor, you are teaching us to be reckless. Let me give you one fact. Do you know why those guys in all faith of fame were a little bit reckless with their life? Hope of resurrection. In fact, they offered them deliverance. They rejected it. The Bible says, for the hope for a better resurrection. What are you going to do with your youth life? Huh? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Somebody came to me one time and said, Pastor, my uncle, I want you to believe God. My uncle is not taking care of me again. I said, come. And this person is staying with our uncle. The uncle is feeding her three. I said, look, you have no business staying with someone you are living, eating 3 square meals. Kilo share? One is enough. Let me tell you, one of the physical things you need to do for your brain to work. I don't notice that when you are hungry, you don't think silly things. I told somebody, all these people that are sleeping around saying, the guy is doing fine, boy, all right? That's why if you see somebody who is broke and is carrying women, just know he's devil living inside him. Like, because where's the libido when you are hungry? That's why I tell young people that I want to marry. Calm down. Money day, you get stream of income. Even if now 10,000 where they come every month, are you sure? Alright, I would rather cancel people to marry if they have, even if it's 20,000 naira in a month, that is constant. 20,000 naira. That is constant. It's better than, I used to get projects, contracts. Contracts, if you know, come once in 2 years. Not me, I will not support that kind of marriage, not me and you. There must be, look, even if it is 10K, that the woman will put her blessing on top. You just have to understand, it's not about having 1 million. If it is 10K, the woman will know how to manage. One thing with women, give them a seed, they will come with a baby. Give them a house, they will turn into a home. They have been, it's not anything special, it's just the way God has made them. They know how to manage things, but that's why they are called helpers. But, do you get what I'm saying? It's very important. As I tell people, all this, you are the sugar. Look, by the time she's hungry for 3 weeks, 3 weeks is long. I told somebody, I said, look, just make sure people are planning for wedding. Look, plan for, first of all, any money you get, first go and buy food in that house that will feed you for the first 3 months after wedding. So that after 3 months, she's still waking up, going to kitchen. All right? You are just changing little things like milk, but rice, like 2 bags. Beans. All right? Don't go and impress your village people. They will see. When they are done eating, they are going back home. Go and check. Most people, all right, that made real change, they made decisions in hunger. See, and I'm not making this up. This guy that sang this secular song that I liked, I listened to take some secular song, right? Not vulgar songs, all right? Why are you guys looking at me like that? All right, school anthem, is he a church song? Do you all know school anthem?
Yes, sir.
Is he a church song? Can you say, oh, come let us? Can you lift your hands and be worshiping with the God of creation? Oh, direct. Do you sing it in worship? It's a secular song, all right? There's this guy called Craig David. All his 7 tracks those days. Don't worry, 20 keys. Don't worry yourself. You didn't know him. All right? All his tracks, all of them were hit songs. Do you know where he got it? He was interviewed one time. He said he got it while fasting. 30 days. Most ideas come that way. When you eat too much, you are too full. You get into vanity. You have to realize that convenience has killed more dreams in life than lack of provision have. Convenience. Hallelujah. So I close with this. Brothers and sisters, your life will only be meaningful to God to the degree in which you are meaningful to the propagation of the gospel. May that bless you.
Yes,
lift your hands and just worship Him.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.